might even be better than that.
Yeah.
But it's pretty amazing that it is just a little better for Scottie Scheffler to win the event than it is for Justin Thomas, a great golfer by any you know, yeah, definition, to finish in the top 10. I mean, that just goes to show you how dominant this dude is.
Well, to your point, you know, I've heard Jeffrey talk about this a lot. He follows this incredibly close. And it sounds like what they're saying is he's Tiger Woods without the flash. In other words, like, Scheffler's dominance right now is awesome. And he should be a, you know, what is it, plus 250? Plus 280?
Yeah.
He should be, but you just don't see it because he's this white dude who gets arrested for driving an SUV into a golf tournament. You don't even know who he is. And then, like, he's this unassuming Texan, you know, who just sort of, you know, plays very effectively. And he's not flashy. Even in his press conference, he's like, you know, if I win it, that's great. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's, you don't expect it, but, like, he's the new Tiger in terms of what the result is.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So anyway, that all gets underway tomorrow.
You will be going or not going?
I will not be going.
You got kids. I will not. You got a lot and little ones too.
It's close to the house, but you know, not going out of, like,
yeah. No, you're not
protest
yet.
No. It's just, it will not be on the agenda for the weekend.
Fair.
So, but I hope everybody has a good time. I hope the event does well. We like having the event here, so. Hopefully it will go off incredibly well. We'll come back. Jeff Goodman going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about everything going on in college basketball, get his thoughts on Memphis, the non-expansion, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.5 FM, ESPN.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here for you. They are going to help you find the home of your dreams. They're going to be honest with you at the outset. They're going to make you the most money for your home. I mean, that's what they do every single day. Glad to have them here on the show as a sponsor. They are the best in Memphis. I mean, Jason, when he's back, will tell you just how much they helped him change his circumstances. So definitely, if you're in the market, if you're thinking about selling your home or buying a home, reach out. Sold at livelovememphis.com. I would recommend don't ever total a lease. What an absolute disaster this has been. I'm still dealing with it.
The car thing still?
Still dealing with it, bro.
Really?
Yeah, man. Even after a massive payout that got sent over, I'm still dealing with it. Like, I'm dealing with it right now.
I'm sorry, bro.
No, I mean, it's like, it's
I like your new wheels. I just told you that. I mean, they're nice.
Third world problems or first world problems. But yeah, it's just a massive.
Just getting everything settled out and paid what you're due.
Exactly.
You don't need to get in the weeds. I just, you know.
Well, no, that's the thing about a lease, right? It's like you don't get any money back. Even though I had positive, I had like $6,000 or $7,000 of equity in the vehicle.
Yeah, you'd paid in,
but that goes just back to the because I didn't own it.
All right, so it goes away. I'm sure that's in the scripting when you sign whatever.
It goes
you sign.
To the some leasing places will send you the overage if that's how it works, but it is not happening in my case. Which again, that's fine. That's the way it goes.
That sucks.
But I just don't like they're still calling me. Like, why y'all still calling me, bro? I'm not paying y'all no more.
Right. Like you already got to do.
Like the awkward part of it was when a monthly, it kind of happened when a monthly payment was due.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, well, since I'm not getting any money back, I ain't paying.
Well, no.
I'm not paying no more.
No, the payments were done.
Like you guys are about to get a huge check.
Yeah.
None of it's going to come from me.
Right.
You know? So,
but you're also not getting any money back either. So
I'm getting no money. So it makes does not benefit me in the slightest. It does not behoove me in the slightest to send a single payment from my
account. That was just the right move. That's the right move.
But again, it's like the timing. Are they about to it's probably going to ding my credit. But, you know, again, I'll deal with it.
It is what
you know
it
what
is.
I mean?
People overestimate the value of that, in my opinion, unless you're trying to buy a house. Yeah.
I bought the house.
Yeah, so you're good. You should not care about that.
I don't care that much, honestly. But I care a little. Not a lot, but a little.
You just want your number to look high.
I also want these people to stop calling me.
Right.
I hate it. I'm dealing with it during the show. It's just terrible. Because, I don't have a lot of time to talk. I don't have it's the beginning of the month. I'm trying to explain to these people we don't have commercials, okay? They just don't understand. They just don't care. But anyway, that's all going on right now. We talked a little bit about it with Sammy P at the beginning of the show, but I don't know how much of this Shadur story you have been following. But the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation has been an absolute disaster. Kenny Pickett was brought in. He's hurt. Dylan Gabriel got drafted. He's hurt. Shadur missed some practices because he was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a preseason game coming up on Friday. And they have decided as an organization to play Shadur Sanders for basically the entire game. They actually signed, we talked about him yesterday, Snoop Huntley.
Yeah,
as their fifth quarterback,
the Pro Bowler,
because they're not going to start Joe Flacco, right? They're going to need him for the real season.
Right.
You know, they're going to play him out here in a preseason game. They can't afford to lose him at this point.
He's going to be the regular season starter.
Definitely feels like that's the way it's going. But Shadur Sanders, despite being the fourth quarterback in the depth chart, despite not taking any team reps as of 3 days ago at a practice three or 4 days ago. And was not getting work with the ones, he's not going to have his top receivers, his top two receivers, Cedric Tillman and Jerry Jeudy, in this game. Yet he is going to start.
What a mess.
I don't think they're invested in his success. Like, I that's my conspiracy theory, is like somebody in that organization felt pressure to draft him, and the coaching staff was not down with it. And as a result, they're just going to throw the kid to the wolves.
Right.
There's no other way to describe what they're doing than throwing him to the wolves. Now, Carolina isn't going to play a bunch of its defensive starters. Like, it's not going to be necessarily, you know, that big of a disadvantage, but you're not giving the guy – I mean, Joe Burrow is getting first-team reps. Like, how can you throw this guy out there without getting any real practices in? He was dealing with arm soreness, and the staff is like, yeah, we're past that. He's playing. I just feel like somebody was not on board with drafting him. They don't necessarily believe in him. And because this is not what setting a quarterback for success.
No.
This is not what that looks like.
Well, and it works on both sides, right? So Shadur wants to prove himself. So, of course, Shadur is not going to go, well, you know, I haven't been getting reps with the ones, but I guess I'll come out here and try to perform in a preseason game because I want to make my way and I want to be on the – he wants to make the – like, it's not a given that he's going to be on the roster, going to be the number three guy even, let alone the fourth or the fifth guy on this roster, right?
Yeah.
Even though he's starting a preseason game. But you start it because you want the slot, but you're not set up for success because you're not getting reps in practice. You've been injured, and you don't have your ones out there with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's and like the Browns have said, like, they're going to mostly rest their starters.
Yeah.
And yet they expect this guy to go out there and like prove everybody wrong, and you're literally giving him no tools to do that.
So the Browns are saying they do this thing called hungry dogs, which allows young players and backups to get competitive reps essentially after practice. Gabriel and Sanders have run the offenses during each of these sessions. But that's, I guess that's just to throw into a receiver on the side field after the practice is over.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. Some people say, hey, it's a you know, day-to-day business. You got to be ready to go no matter what, regardless of the amount of reps you get. But it's like, come on, man. Like, let's just talk about this logically.
Right.
He's a fifth-round draft pick who is being thrown out there after not practicing.
Right.
Down two top receivers. And he's supposed to go out there and just like make chicken salad out of chicken-ish.
That's tough.
Like, like for anybody, that'd be a tough situation. And I get it. Like, that is the NFL in some ways. It's like, hey, man, things ain't going to be perfect for you. They're not going to be all tailored to you. And
yeah.
You know, everybody.
Don't make it happen.
Exactly. There is an element of that to it.
Yeah.
But like, look around. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to think of an NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like Jackson Dart's not being thrown out there.
Right.
You know, with a bunch of, you know, he's not starting. He'll play later in the game against like twos and threes and fours, you know, and he was a second round draft pick. That's the guy you throw out there. The Wolves are like, hey, go make something. Right. Go be something.
Right.
You know, I mean, Shadur's like, hey, man, you're not, oh, by the way, we just signed our our lead custodian.
Right.
He's going to be your number one pass catcher. So you're going to throw to him. He doesn't know the playbook at all. And then, oh, by the way, my Kevin Stefanski's deaf grandfather is going to be calling the plays on Friday night.
Right.
So, you know, and then, by the way, we only have one cleat for you. So
Kenny Pickett's the guy.
Kenny Pickett's not the guy. Kenny Pickett guy. He has never been the guy for anybody.
No.
It's a competition. I mean, they're trying to figure it out. But
Flacco's going to be the starter. But, I mean, beyond him, who is it? It's got to be probably Pickett.
Pickett will be the backup. I mean, Pickett was brought in and it was supposed to be Pickett versus Flacco. Then they lose their minds on draft day and decide to draft
two quarterbacks.
So then it's gotten even more. I mean, the Browns and the Saints are a mess. Like they're kind of in the same boat here in that the Browns have four quarterbacks, the Saints have three. You combine them all, you probably still don't have one.
Well, the strange thing about the Browns situation is you draft a quarterback super late in the fifth round who is projected to be in the first round. That and he's super famous, and his dad's super famous. So, like, and I let me be clear. I hope he balls out and proves himself against all odds, you know, with the setup. But, like, I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah. No, I've bet against it.
You have?
Oh, I've totally bet against it. Now, I do think there's an element of, you know, when the entire world is dumping on the guy, like this is a great opportunity. Like everybody can't be that right about him, right? Like Shadur has had moments in college where he has looked like he was at one time favored to go number one overall.
Yes.
So the talent is undeniable, but I do think the NFL it's tough for an individual to overcome all of these different things working against him. You know, backup offensive line, second string, third string, fourth string offensive line. Third string, fourth string wide receivers, hasn't gotten any work in, has been injured. Like, typically, it goes the way we think it will go in those situations. Because there's just so many intricacies to the NFL game. Like, it's not basketball. You know, a guy can I mean, Josh Selby had 52 in a summer league game.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was, you know, because he's just out there hooping.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, it don't matter.
It does feel like when you get drafted that low in the NFL, you're kind of hooked. Like, you occasionally will see a dude break through, Dak Prescott, fourth round or third round or whatever. But, like, if you're late and you've been dropping, like, you're kind of hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Does this feel like you'd be cut, right?
Yeah.
Like, you get cut.
Most definitely.
Damn.
Most definitely. So,
business, bro.
I do think, like, you know, there's going to be you know, a reckoning a little bit for Shadur, but maybe it's good for him.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, he, I think that is kind of how the Browns might be approaching it as well. Like, he needs some humbling.
Well, and had
so we're
wizards.
Strip away everything. Oh, yeah, Travis Hunter.
In college, he had multiple. He had Shepard, who's going to make the Green Bay roster.
Yep.
Like, he had dudes all around him to wield the ball to. So, you know, you were set up and even got better offensive linemen there in that last year.
Yep.
So, that probably was part of the calculus and why he dropped.
That's exactly right.
They're like, wow, you have an all-world two-way player you're throwing the ball to.
That's 100% right.
You know, and Shepard.
Yep. So, anyway, it makes to me for that game tomorrow much more fast, or should be Friday.
It's interesting.
Because, we'd watch it anyway with Shadur, but, you know, mostly it's like, all right, how bad will this be?
Right.
I mean,
it could be a real ass whooping.
I mean, there's a world where it could be the worst performance we've ever seen in the modern era.
Right.
Just because of all the things. Like, I don't think people realize how bad this is, like, in terms of how this has gone for Shadur in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But maybe he, like, beats the odds.
Well,
and maybe
Carolina,
he comes out and, you know, shows that he's above all that.
A lot of these players from Carolina are going to want to prove themselves, too.
Oh, like, that's the thing. It's like, you don't want to be the guy that Shadur comes in against and lights up.
Oh, no.
So even these second, third string guys.
Going to try to ball out.
You know, you see it.
Yeah.
It's like when Caitlin Clark had her first game.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to be the one that gets dropped off by Caitlin Clark.
No, I'm going to stop this.
Caitlin struggled for the first couple of games.
Remember
you know?
That.
Like, she did. And she eventually adjusted because she's
great. You
got
a big target on your back.
But I don't know if Shadur is that level. We're going to find out. We're going to find out just how much of it in Colorado was having Travis Hunter.
I'm surprised how little he is. I'm looking at these pictures of him in camp.
That was part of it. He's not a super big guy.
He's small.
He's not that mobile. You know, I mean, that was part of it. Now, again, he can throw the
damn
ball.
I want him to do well. I mean, I hope he'd be probably good for the league. He'd be fun. But, like, Flacco's a foot taller than him.
Yeah, exactly. So
you know, do we get games tomorrow night though too? Don't we, John?
You got three games tomorrow.
See, let's go.
You got Colts and Ravens tomorrow. Again, starting quarterback issue or competition, I should say, with the Colts. You're going to see both Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones in that game tomorrow. That's confirmed. Then you're going to have the Bengals taking on the Eagles.
Yep.
And then you're going to have the GOAT Pete Carroll returning to Seattle playing starters.
Yeah.
So
what more do you want?
What I mean, honestly, what more do you want? in the NFL preseason. It's as good as it gets.
Where are the games at? I'm quizzing you now. Like you know all the ESPN. Yeah. Where are the games at?
Oh, you want to know where they're at?
Yeah. I guess they're on ESPN because ESPN bought everything.
I think you can just safely assume that every game's on ESPN.
Everything's on ESPN.
So yeah, I'm sure they'll be like no, but until that deal actually takes shape, I assume it will be a mix. Like NFL Plus will have some.
I gotcha.
Still, NFL Network will have the Colts game.
Okay.
NFL Network will have the Raiders game.
Okay.
So you'll have to find Bengals, Eagles probably on NFL Plus.
Yeah.
Which is an NFL offering.
Well, I'll have to pay for that.
It's only good for preseason.
Oh, so I don't have to. It's like an a la carte item.
Like that's what you would have it for. I think I have it because I forgot to cancel it.
Gotcha.
That's about where that goes. But anyway, yeah, that's all tomorrow. We'll come back tomorrow with a bunch of breakdowns for each individual game. 1 hour apiece we will devote to each breakdown. All right. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Goodman will join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about college basketball, Aaron Bradshaw's videos, tournament expansion or non-expansion, and ESPN's takeover. He was an employee of ESPN for a while there, so he knows all about the ambition. So we'll talk to him about all that and more when we get back. Jason and John, Trying to Fam ESPN.
Jeff Goodman is the co-founder of the biggest, brightest, greatest college basketball network in the world. It's called the Field of 68. Once upon a time, he worked at ESPN, but he just worked at Field of 68 now, and he joins us now. Welcome.
You know, this is ridiculous. Number one, I was told that I would have a vacation from you all summer. That has not been the case after you called me in from the bullpen today to close the show out. I feel like Mariano Rivera right now.
There you go.
I feel like coming in, I'm closing things out, and then I don't even get to talk to the elite of the co-host duo here, the guy whose back probably is killing him right now, and that's why he's not in studio today, and that is none other than Jason Smith.
You make a great point. I don't know, why you are, so transfixed on talking to Jason. You can call him anytime you want. But it's just me here. It's just me. And I do appreciate you being here. I do appreciate you being here.
I did come in from the bullpen, though.
No, for sure. You did. No, I mean, we had a late cancellation.
A late scratch.
And I don't normally like to give away such I like to have people think that this is a well-oiled machine. But it's not.
Nobody believes that. Not one person listening believes that it's a well-oiled machine with you hosting.
No, it's fair. But I will say this. Wouldn't you want to be more like, Kurt Schilling than Mariano Rivera? I mean, you're a Boston guy.
No, absolutely not. No. Kurt Schilling's the last person I would want to be like.
He is a terrible person, isn't he?
A horrible person.
He is.
I actually covered him a little bit. I covered the Red Sox back in the day. In my previous lifetime of covering everything in Boston. And he was fine. He was actually fine I wasn't around him a ton, but those Red Sox teams were a blast with Johnny Damon, David Ortiz. Couldn't understand Manny Ramirez at all.
That's all right.
I mean, literally couldn't understand a word he said.
That's all right. It made you better for it.
They were fun.
For those that don't know, Jeff is from Framingham, which is why he's so comfortable when he comes to Memphis. He feels like it's just like where he grew up. So the hard streets of Framingham. Do I have that accurate?
Well, I was not. Yeah, there's a Framingham north side and a south side. The south side was the tough side of town. Okay. I'm not gonna lie. I was on the north side.
It's not Framingham. It's Framingham.
Framingham. No, you're right. Framingham.
Okay, Framingham.
Yeah, you got it right.
All right. There you go. All right, I want to talk to you about a lot of things today, not just college basketball. You did text me about you sent me that Aaron Bradshaw video, so we'll talk about that. But you used to work at ESPN. How long were you there at ESPN?
5 years. The first four were awesome. The last year felt like 100 years.
All right. Well, this is not. I did not bring this up for you to air past grievances.
Not a therapy session for me.
No. What I'm mostly curious in is your just opinion. If you've checked the news the last few days, the ESPN has basically purchased the NFL, and they have now also purchased the big events of the WWE. We know they already have inside the NBA. They already have a bunch of college football. Like, ESPN is going to basically, it feels like, own everything, including college basketball. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I think they need to do it right now. I think there was a lot of, you know, trepidation over there of like they're losing out and in terms of ratings are going down. Obviously, the NFL is the NFL. And that's part of the reason, obviously, they did this with the red zone, you know, and hopefully they don't screw that one up. And hopefully, as I tweeted, they don't screw up inside the NBA. Those are two things that you just – sometimes you just say, just like the NCAA tournament, we don't need to mess with this at all. There are other things, you know, listen, the actual studio show, like their NBA coverage needs work. I think ESPN's NFL coverage is really good. Mm-hmm. I think their personnel is good. I like them. I think they provide a lot of insight. I was watching yesterday morning and – you know, my buddy Peter Schrager, who I came up with at Fox Sports, is hosting Get Up. Field Yates is awesome. Marcus Spears was on. He's great. Their NFL coverage is terrific. I just think their NBA coverage needs a complete revamp. And inside the NBA will help. But ultimately, again, you're still going to have to figure some stuff out on that end. But I do love a ton of people over there at ESPN. But I think sometimes when you're at that level and you're dominating like they were, mm-hmm. I think sometimes you just feel like it doesn't matter who you bring in.
Right.
You know, that the numbers are going to be there regardless. And eventually, especially with this younger generation,
yeah,
it's different with them. They're not watching like we watched.
No, they're not. They're not. We were talking about that today. Like even Hard Knocks like happened last night. And that's not ESPN, but – like Hard Knocks doesn't have the juice that it had.
I'm not watching it. Right. I don't care.
Right. We don't watch SportsCenter anymore. You know. Remember, SportsCenter used to be like we had to watch SportsCenter, and now we don't. We don't even think about watching SportsCenter anymore. We already know what happened.
Yeah, I was in a hotel room, which is the only reason I watched Get Up yesterday morning. I flipped it on in Charlotte and was watching as I was getting ready and saw those guys. And again, you know, I'm happy for Schrager because he's grinded it out to get to where he is and done an unbelievable job. And like I said, there's some unbelievable people, so many talented people at ESPN. I also think their college basketball coverage could be a lot better.
Well,
a lot better.
I was going to say like that. Well, first of all, you know, I don't know why you talk about people from other networks in a more positive light than, for example, you talk about me. You know, I mean, you never say any of those things about somebody like me that had the grind. You just say you threaten to fire me every couple of weeks. You say you need a vacation from me. You know,
I know you. You're gonna start to kind of rest on your laurels.
That's right.
It's kind of like my daughter. You know, right now I feel like
I am your daughter.
My adopted son. we did this in Vegas. Remember?
Yes.
Tell everybody what we did in Vegas.
We did a lot in Vegas. What did we not do in Vegas?
But what did we do? What did we do when we walked into stores in Vegas?
Oh, that's right. We told the cashier that I was his son, and I would like talk crazy to him. Like I would like it would,
it
was,
get
like,
after it.
It was a bit like I can only imagine what that was going. I was like this is my dad. Like I can't stand this piece of, you know, like. It was funny. I gotta say, it was good.
It's funny,
but yeah, you never say like you like. Oh, Peter Schrager is so good, and you know Dallin Cuff is just so amazing, and Jay Williams is the best I've ever heard. But you know, John Martin, man, I just can't. Well, what is he doing? Why is he still hanging around my network? You won't leave me alone. I mean, it's just you know, kind of sad.
I mean, you still have a lot to prove. You still have a lot to prove.
I do. That is fair.
A lot to prove. You've killed it with us. You know that. I love you. I love having you on. You know, when listen, there's nobody else who could have called me 3 hours ago. And I'm sitting here chilling here in Charleston. I'm going to go for a walk once we're done with this. I don't want to work at all today. I've kind of had it cleared out everything today. Cleared out everything. There was not a thing. Because Doster's on his second vacation already.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
He's on his second vacation of the summer. He's in Greenville. He's already been in Italy for 10 days. And here I am working my you-know-what off, driving to Charlotte yesterday,
yep,
back and forth.
Yep.
And so I was like, I'm not
doing
anything.
He could learn something. He could learn something from your work ethic. He really could.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not grinding the way I used to, but, you know, still working a little bit. Well, so you're the only one who could have called that. I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to go on with John because I actually enjoy – the banter. I love you. You know that. And it is banter. It is banter.
Oh, totally. It's all good. No, you know that. Of course. I wouldn't joke about it like that if I didn't know. But I will say, when you talk about ESPN's college basketball coverage, I do think that, and I don't know if it's because their attention is sort of, you know, focused elsewhere, like with NFL and college football, but like, I think it has opened up a little bit of an opening here for a network like Field of 68 to come along and be that, you know, serve college basketball fans. And I do think that's exactly what Field of 68, I don't want to say it's directly because of ESPN, but, you know, honestly, if they were doing a good job at it, there wouldn't necessarily have been a need for it. And I think that is exactly what Field of 68 has come on the scene and done.
It's always kind of been that way since I was there. Like, they never really understood how to promote it with all the games they have. I mean, think of all the games they have on that network. And they just kind of, because the ratings aren't good enough, they kind of give up on it and just say, hey, you know, we're going to show the games. And then other than that, we're really not going to try to bring, like, the NBA draft. I mean, think about what they've done with the NFL draft and then look at how atrocious the NBA draft coverage is. And I was a part of it. So I was a part of the atrociousness for a few years, but it is awful compared to the NFL draft, and they don't know how to promote it and they don't put the right people on it. You know, game day. I mean, same thing. Like, college football game day is a thing, right? They haven't figured out certainly the personnel. The banter is terrible for college basketball game day. It's awful. I mean, they need to replace Seth Greenberg with somebody younger. Who's not going to dispute coach speak. They do. I mean, Jay Will's great.
Yeah.
Phyllis is great. Reese is great. You gotta revamp. Get somebody younger in for Seth Greenberg and then see how that works.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. We're talking to Jeff Goodman, Field of 68, here on the show. Of course, it's going to be exciting. Field of 68 is growing. It's interesting. Field of 68 is going to be at American Media Days this year. You have invited me, but
you're breaking the news. You're breaking
the
news.
I've already talked about it on this show. I didn't realize it was
breaking news.
Well, oh, wow. I didn't tweet it, but you've invited me to come down, and I think you should just clear it with Tim Pernetti first, because I've been dogging his ass out. I mean, I've been getting after him.
All right, you know what? You're not invited. Yeah, yeah. Just so you know, I've rescinded the invitation.
That's crazy. That's crazy that you wouldn't even like consider it. You know, you just immediately shoot it down. But that's fine. That's fine. The American is a and you know this. You don't have to say it, but it's an embarrassing league. And
you're Memphis, it is. Yes. If you're Memphis, it is absolutely. Because right now you've got to get somewhere that you can be a player. It was like when Dan Hurley and UConn were in it, right? Like, he knew from a recruiting standpoint they had to get out. And they never would have won two national titles here recently if they hadn't gotten into the Big East.
See, that's depressing.
If you're Memphis and Penny, it's the same thing where, let's face it, you know, you're bringing in the Tulsas of the world and Temple and Tulane and Rice and some of those schools, and it's East Carolina.
Joke.
Yeah, it's just bringing your numbers down.
It's terrible. I mean, like, how does any team – I mean, you tell me, how many programs in the country go from having like an unbelievably exciting November and December, who play like 7-8 top 50 teams at Torvik, but then literally lose all juice for 3 months of the season? Like, that's the existence Memphis has. They're going to play unbelievable non-conference.
Except Gonzaga has had St. Mary's, luckily.
That is true. They've had St. Mary's. And like, you know, San Francisco is not terrible. San Francisco has been, you know, a relevant team-ish. Memphis played San Francisco in its non-conference last year. But it's like, this is a real ticket problem for Memphis. It's a real they got a 5 seed last year, which is amazing. I think, it blew everybody away. I mean, everybody thought Memphis was going to be a 7-8 seed. The committee rewarded them with a 5 seed.
Yep.
Feels like that's going to be like the last time that ever happens. I mean, how do you navigate it when you can only hurt your resume from January to March? It just seems impossible.
So the negative is obviously that you're not playing anybody. The good thing is all you have to do is win the American League tournament, which,
right,
you know, you're going to be favored. You have twice as much money as anybody else in the league. So, you know, you should be able to do that. Even if you struggle in non-conference or even lose a few times in regular season, it really doesn't matter. Mm. You know, you can still get that automatic berth. Now, you're not going to get a high seed if you do that, but you're going to get in the tournament, which is all anybody cares about. And even if you're a 10 seed, which is kind of a 12 seed even, you're playing a 5. And, like, how many of those teams are so good that you're terrified of them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of those teams are going to be flawed. Like, Memphis was, you know, flawed as a 5 seed. They lost to a 12 seed. You
Everybody
know,
is.
So it's not the end of the world at all. And frankly, you know, when – I say this all the time now, like, my entire worldview of college sports is all dependent on what your budget is. Like, if you're a team that's at a disadvantage from, you know, budget perspective, I'm not going to be that hard on you, right? So I think the goal for any team that's operating on the budget of Memphis, which is like $4 to $6 million a year in NIL or rev share, however you want to call it, making the tournament every single year is a very reasonable and acceptable goal. You know, and that's weird, right? Because, like, you know, I mean, you know Memphis very well, bro. Like, you know the history of Memphis. You know how good it once upon a time, like, this place has been. But I don't know if it's fair to hold Memphis in 2025 to historical standards from 1985 to 2009 because the world around it has changed so drastically.
You're right. I mean, you're right. A great program today in terms of resources isn't what it was years ago. However, having said that, I still feel like, yes, I'm not saying Memphis is a top 10 program. They're probably not even a top 20 program today. But they are still a proud program that should be getting in the tournament pretty much every year.
Agreed.
Especially in the American.
And Penny's on that 3 of the last 4 years. Should have done it 2 years ago, but, you know, chemistry disaster, you know, academic scandals, all kinds of stuff was going on.
Yeah.
So anyway, 3 or 4 years, you know, well, I wish it was 4. It's 3 and 4. Now, this year is going to be really interesting because, I mean, it's another, you know, new look roster. And, we'll see.
Like, how pivotal is it? That's my question to you even. Like, is it pivotal coming off what they did last year during the regular season? Obviously, Penny built up a ton of equity, mm-hmm. and he should, because mm-hmm. he played a great non-conference. They won. They were really good. You know, I think this year is a year of, like, okay, even if they don't do well, he's still fine. He's still fine.
Totally.
But the questions will come out again. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't have 2 bad years in a row now. And I think everybody's expecting a down year this year. Now, again, even if you have a down year, you still get in the NCAA tournament.
Let's see what down really means. You know, like, down, if you miss the tournament down, you know, you do that 2 years in a row, then the conversation will kick off. Yes.
You can't do that again. You can't. If you're Memphis, to me, you can't not go to the tournament 2 years in a row.
But he hasn't done that since 2021. So, I mean, that, you know, that was 4 or 5 years ago. So, I mean, yeah.
I just worry again, you have more staff movement again this year. Mm-hmm. You have a complete overhaul of the roster. You have no idea. Like, you have no idea, right?
Oh, exactly. And how many times, you know, is it going to come together the way it came together last year? Like, I was super low on them last year coming into the year. I'm like, they have no
shot. Everybody was.
Remember their first two exhibitions, they shot 16% from three. And then they start the season, and they're like top 5 in the country. Like, where the hell did this come from?
Tyrese Hunter. Right.
Yes.
Tyrese Hunter couldn't miss.
That's right. And then, you know, again, they were as good as advertised. If they had Tyrese Hunter in that game against Colorado State, I fully believe they win, and then you take your chance against Maryland, who knows. How many times can you expect it to come together that way with a newly tooled roster? I think that's the hard part.
And a lot of teams are dealing with it, right? Like, it's not like they're alone, but like you said, you did it last year when the expectation, can you do it again? Can you do it in back-to-back years with completely different rosters and kind of revamp staffs both years? That's hard. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really, now again, if you told me, oh, Kentucky's got to do it again, but they had 20 million. Okay. I'm like, they'll be fine, but you don't have 20 million, you know, you have more double than everybody else in the American. That's great. But you still have less money than, you know, I don't know, most high majors that are in the equation for like, you know, a top 25 team. Right. They probably, if you said to me right now, Memphis is probably last, if we want to write down the top 25 teams right now in NIL, they're not in there. They're not in the top 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not with rep share, not the way it is currently constructed now. They told Ross Dellinger, or somebody told Ross Dellinger, that they could go to 20.5, and I'd love to see it, but they haven't.
That would be insane if FedEx or somebody. I mean, all it takes, I said this to somebody yesterday, think about it, the guy, the horse racing guy from St. John's, right? Mm. Rapoli is he's boys with Patino, St. John's alum, he's worth billions. Like, you're telling me he couldn't write a check to Rick Pitino if Rick wants it and just say 20.5.
Right.
You dole it out how you want. Give a little bit to women's basketball. Give a little bit to the other sports. We don't have football. So, you know what? Take 18 for yourself.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's happening around the country. I think the key for Memphis this year in terms of, like, what will decide who they are is a guy that, you know, you're familiar with, and Aaron Bradshaw. What's really interesting about Aaron Bradshaw, Jeff, is that we went through an exercise yesterday where he was top five at 247, right? Like, he was number five.
Yeah.
We went through the last, like, 8-9 years of the top five at 247 in terms of classes that have already played, right? And you have to get all the way to R.J. Hampton's class to get to the last guy in the top five at 247 other than Aaron Bradshaw. That's not currently on an NBA roster. How about that?
Wow.
How about that? Wow. I mean, that's that's 2019. So that's 6 years. So that's basically all 30 guys except Aaron Bradshaw since then are on an NBA roster right now. Which the point is that when you're a top five guy, there is something there. And if Penny can find it, you know, maybe you can have a season where, you know, you're a seventh seed or something along those lines. You could just get the most out of Aaron Bradshaw.
I mean, he's dealt with a lot of off the court stuff his first 2 years, right? He was hurt before his freshman year. That set him back. He was inconsistent, you know, immature, definitely immature. And then Ohio State, he had off the court issues, another injury. Mm-hmm. So number one, he's got to stay healthy in body and mind, number one. But man, his talent, I remember seeing him multiple times on the circuit, and I went to the McDonald's All-American game a couple of years ago when he was at it. I think it was in Houston that year. And I'm like, this kid, talent-wise, like what he can do at 7 feet in terms of stepping out and shooting it and running the court, and, you know, but that's not everything. Obviously, we know that's not everything. That's in a different format. I've seen so many players over the years, you know, be misevaluated, you know, because they look so good in the up and down setting, but then when you're trying to get them in a different setting and coach them up, and you know they've got to remember plays, things like that, it's different. It's just different. So I hope the light goes on for him fully. I hope he's healthy. I think again he's got terrific talent, and I think honestly the Americans are right level for him right now because you know he'll play some good games in the non-conference. I'm sure they'll load it up again, which they have, right? I mean, I looked at it recently. It's a good non-conference schedule again. Maybe not as good as last year, but good. And then even if he struggles a little bit, he should be so much more athletic, longer. He's stronger now. Get his confidence up in the American and hopefully get his stock back to where he's at least a draft pick. Guy who's got a future playing professional basketball again, because everybody in the NBA has kind of forgotten about Aaron Bradshaw.
Yeah, now this is rehab, brother. The American is your rehab. That's actually not a bad thing to be advertised as, because it was that for Dane Danger. You know, Tyrese had his best year here last year. You know, hopefully the trend continues. You're the man, brother. Thanks for doing this on short notice. Sorry about Jason not being here.
Of course. Tell Jason I said stay out. Stay out as long as you can. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, my man. Yep.
Later.
He is Jeff Goodman from Field of 68. I'm just watching Aaron Bradshaw highlights. Like, I might be gassing the guy up too much, but I mean, if there is a situation for him and a coach for him, I do think he's found it right now in his basketball career. I truly do.
He's going to be an NBA player, I think.
I mean, he's the only thing, man. He's just so thin. He is a slight guy.
He can put weight on.
Maybe he can. Maybe he can. I don't know. But I'm just, you know, that's the one thing you notice is like for a big like that, you'd like him to see, you know, be a little bit stockier. You know, I mean, even Jaren has added a ton of weight,
yep,
you know, over the years to his frame. So, you know, that's the only thing. But it's there, you know, and it's just Penny's responsibility and job to reach in there and get it out of him. So I think that could very well be the key. All right, we'll come back, wrap this thing up on a Wednesday. Jason and John on Eternal Family. Yes. Well, snack time was already a thing. Sonic just made it official with the dollar snacky hour. And to make it official, anybody who visits Sonic Snacky Hour is going to get dollar corn dogs, dollar mozzarella sticks, and dollar soft pretzel twists. Get the drink rewards and the Sonic app. The Sonic Snacky Hours from 2 to 5 p.m. every day. Eat Sonic. Exclusions apply. Limited time offer. Participating locations. Love hitting up Sonic.
Yep.
Love stopping by. Love taking the kids. It is simply the best. Thanks to Jeff Goodman for joining us on the show today. Again, I think he kind of shares like some you know questions like me about you know hey what will the roster look like? Although I do think maybe we got to give Penny the benefit of the doubt that he will bring it together. Again, yep. The ceiling is I think very much up for debate, but you know I think the floor you know being competitive and the talent is undeniable. Doug McDaniel's been a power five point guard multiple years. Aaron Bradshaw's a top five guy, so. You know, I think, you know, you got a couple of SEC transfers that are going to, you know, transfer down, so to speak, just because they're going to be playing the American instead of the SEC. I mean, that's a lot to get excited about.
So this conference is going to be worse, though, right, overall, and outside of Memphis.
It's going to be the same story every single year. I mean, that you don't have a clear-cut number two every single year, that, you know, used to be Memphis and Houston.
Yeah.
You know, Houston was number one and Memphis was number two, and that was a pretty damn good one, too. Well, then Houston leaves. And now it's just Memphis. And there's a big drop-off from 1 to 2, really. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Goodman for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Sammy P for hopping on in the first hour. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason and John, we're gone.